So you heard the story. We got two sisters, Mary and Martha, right? Martha and Mary have a lot to teach us about our lives, I think. Martha was the one who was making sure everything was set, all the bases were covered. She cooked and cleaned and served and cleared the table, and she tended to everybody's needs. And while she's working her fingers to the bone, her words, while she's working her fingers to the bone to take care of all the details, her sister Mary is sitting there at Jesus' feet, not lifting a finger. Now, Martha, she's a little perturbed. So she says to Jesus, "Jesus, my sister's not doing a thing to help. Tell her to get up and help me." And Jesus says to Martha, "Martha, Martha, you're so distracted and worried about all kinds of things that really don't matter. Mary has chosen the better part." Oof. What a slam for everybody who likes to do stuff. For everybody who's active. Now, this story sometimes is used to blame those who are doers for not being more contemplative, as if somehow it is bad or wrong to be busy and productive. And after all, if nobody cooked and nobody cleaned, how would we get by, right? I would like to suggest it might be helpful to see this story through the lens of who each of us is. Because some of us are going to be more like Mary, more prone to be quiet, reflective, contemplative. And some of us tend to be like Martha, more comfortable doing things, cooking, preparing, cleaning, working, and so on. And when we hear the story today, we might assume that it's good to be like Mary and somehow bad to be like Martha. I don't buy it. I don't buy that at all. Because for some of us, sitting quiet and being reflective and contemplative might be the most uncomfortable thing we can do. It will most likely not surprise you. I am not one of those. I am not a good sitter. In fact, it's probably one of the reasons I'm a pastor. I can go to church and still move around and do something. My wife will tell you I'm a lousy worshiper. 5 minutes in, I'm digging in her purse for candy or something. Sue knows that, don't you? Yeah, okay. Forcing those who are more comfortable being active to be quiet and reflective might feel like a punishment more than anything else. And forcing those who prefer to be quiet and reflective to go out and do things, especially with people they don't know, might feel like the most aversive thing there is. It might feel uncomfortable and maybe even scary. Well, we know. Our kids just told us the truth is we are not all one thing or the other. Most of us are like Mary and Martha both. We have a quiet contemplative side and we have our active busy doing side. Now it might be 80-20, 50-50, 20-80, but we each have those sides in us. Some of us are more one than the other, but those sides still exist. Now what this points to is the importance of finding a balance that fits who we are. See, it's not as if we are all one thing or another. See, Paul goes on and on about this in a couple places. He talks about the body of Christ having many parts. Some of us are good at cooking, some are good at sewing or teaching or quilting or singing or caring for the sick or feeding the hungry or whatever it is we do. And some of us are more active outside this building than we are in it. There is not one right way to follow Jesus. Instead, we have the freedom to follow and serve Jesus in ways that make sense for us, in ways that fit our comfort zone and feel right. Now that said, you know that we live in a time when it is more and more common to become human doings instead of being human beings. You know how it is around our community. Lots of families with kids and the endless commitments to sports and clubs and all the other things we do. But it's not just kids. We adults, we do the same thing. It is common to try to cram a week's worth of fun into a long weekend. Something I like to call power leisure. Then we come back late Sunday night, go to work Monday morning exhausted so we can rest, so we can pack up Thursday night and go do it again and go have fun and cut another lawn. Yeah, boy. And in this day and age, work follows you. I was on the lake the other day, listened to somebody taking a business call in his boat. I thought, punch out, throw it in. But there's this thing called FOMO, fear of missing out. F-O-M-O, fear of missing out. And you've seen people walking, well, Pokemon Go is going like crazy now. By the way, we're a site, but you see people walking while they're texting or reading emails and you biff, run into things, right? There's now an app you can get for a smartphone that lets you see what's in front of you. I'm not making this up. I wish I was. FOMO, baby. It has become common to live hard and play hard. And to a point, I guess that's okay. But the cost of it can be mighty high. See, the cost is, it's easy to lose ourselves. The danger is we cease to be human beings. We become human doings, doing more and more stuff, frantically trying to make a life only to find out we don't have one. Never satisfied, wanting more and more and more, and we fall prey to planned discontent. You know what that is. The marketplace is all about it. No matter what you have, it tells us we're supposed to have something bigger and better and more expensive and shinier and newer. That's why my tackle box gains 5 pounds every year. Okay? Plan get discontent. Whatever we have isn't good enough. There's an appeal to being too busy and being overbooked. I mean, not only is it kind of an honor in our society to tell people how busy you are, oh, I'm so busy, I'm going to fall over exhausted. Yeah, okay, fine, get away. I'm guilty. But part of the appeal is it prevents us from having time to be quiet and alone. Because some of us like that, because we might be afraid that who we are or what we are inside isn't good enough. That somehow we're not going to measure up, that somehow we have failed. It is so easy to fill our lives with so much activity that we miss the good stuff. We miss the point. So in our story today, Jesus said to Martha, Martha, you are distracted by so many things, you missed the best part. How's that shoe fit? The pace of life in our time leads us to live as if we're trying to drink out of an open fire hydrant. Now, we might assume things were different in Jesus' time without email and cell phones and everything else, but it wasn't. Life back then was mighty hard. It was brutal and difficult and short. And by the way, you couldn't go to the store and buy bread. You would go to the market and buy grain and grind it into flour and then knead it and make dough and make bread. So, yeah, life was pretty busy. It's our human tendency to fill up our time. It's just like a garage. It'll fill up with stuff when you're not looking. And what we fill it with simply depends on what's available. We've always been tempted to become human doings and not human beings. It's just one more phase of our attempt to be in control and call the shots and have all the information covering all the bases. So the challenge, of course, is to find a balance. In our society, many of us lean toward the Martha side, doing, being busy, filling our lives with lots of stuff. And to balance that, it's good to take time to sit at Jesus' feet. Take time to listen. Now, I'm not talking hours on end here. I can't do that. Many of you can't either. 10 minutes, good place to start. 10 minutes at Jesus' feet. And for crying out loud, we wait longer for trains than that in this town, don't we? 10 minutes. Stop doing all the time and reflect on Jesus' words. Take some time to be. Choose the better portion. Back off. Stop sweating the small stuff. And listen. Sit at Jesus' feet and get quiet. And remember, we don't come to God with a list of questions and desires and demands. God is in the business of giving us our lives back again and helping us find our way home after we've gotten lost with all the shiny, sparkling stuff around us. Stuff that leaves us feeling lonely and afraid and discontent. If you don't know where to start, try repeating the short prayer. Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Set me free. Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Set me free. Take time to sit at Jesus' feet. Hear again God's promise. I love you always. I will always love you, and nothing's going to change that. And feel that love even more when you share it. So if you want to be busy, go ahead. But be busy actively loving others. Because God is not there to serve us. We are here to serve God. It starts with hearing God's promise of love and new life. Because that is where real life is to be found.